This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today's wisdom from the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verse 128. Two words, very simple, memorize it. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Peace and reconciliation is best. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. For two people that are in a fight, for a husband and wife that aren't getting along, for two nations and tribes that are at war, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a maxim, a rule. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Coming together on a peace treaty, having a reconciliation, it is always the best. Subhanallah, our opponents say, Islam is war, Islam is violence. And the Quranic message and the seerah message is exactly the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always encourages sulh and peace. In fact, even with regards to the Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If they lean towards peace, then you as well lean towards peace and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was negotiating with the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he said, I swear any condition they put on me, as long as it is halal, as long as the religion is respected, I will agree and submit to it. Any condition they put on me, as long as we can reach a sulh and the sha'air or the religion of Allah is respected, I'm willing to do that. And that is why the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was enacted, and it was in fact a success. So what is this maxim? What is this wisdom? وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Let us look at it first in the context of this verse, and then as usually we broaden and we bring other benefits from this verse, from this phrase. The verse itself comes in the context of, believe it or not, husband and wife on the verge of divorce. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the two of them are fighting, this is in the Quran, if they think the marriage is going to end, then let each one of them find an arbitrator. Let each one of them find a person, a judge, yani a cousin, a relative, a friend that knows the situation and they can bring in. Let each one find one person more sympathetic to that side. So let the husband find a family friend, a cousin, a brother. Let the wife find a family friend, a cousin, a brother. Let them all come together and let them try to work it out. Then Allah says, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. And Allah is saying, if you can work it out, it is always going to be for the best. Allah wants you to work out this type of situation. If Allah wants even two people that are about to get divorced to come back together again, how much more so for two nations at war? How much more so for tribes that are having a fight between them? Our religion commands, our religion encourages to find peace as much as possible. And that is why our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the Muslims to actively get involved in bringing about peace between their family and their friends. Once he stood up in a gathering, he said, do you want me to tell you something more blessed and pleasing to Allah than salah and sadaqah and sawm? They said, Ya Rasulullah, what is more blessed and pleasing to Allah than salah and sadaqah and sawm? What can be better than fasting and praying and charity? He said, As-sulhu ذات البين, أصلحوا ذات البين, bringing two people that are fighting, bringing them back together. Actively being involved in society. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, I say to you bluntly, this is something unfortunately is lost in our society. We have this mentality of minding your own business. And no doubt, if you're not involved in two people's lives, you mind your own business. But your own friends are fighting. Your own cousins are not talking. If you are in the people, involved in the people, then it is your business. You're not a stranger. If two of your friends have had a fight, if two of your relatives are no longer talking, you are not a stranger. This is not minding your own business. If you are a senior who is respected, if you're a neutral party that the both of them know and respect and like, then it is a type of fard kifaya. It is one of the highest types of sadaqah that you can give. Yes, it is sadaqah. It is charity. You give your time and you give your izzah and you give your attention. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, Allah will reward you more than your salah, more than your siyam, more than your sadaqah. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly and the Prophet explicitly encourage tactics that are otherwise not encouraged. Even tactics that are not encouraged, they become encouraged when the goal is to bring people together. For example, the Quran says, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم. It is not good to have secret gatherings. You know, when people gather secretly, hey, we're meeting here, don't tell anybody. 99% of the time, evil is afoot, right? Anytime you have a secret gathering, 99% of the time, bad things are going to happen. Hey, we're having a secret make sure you don't tell so-and-so. Make sure those people don't come. We're going to have something behind those people's backs. You know, trouble is afoot. But Allah says there are some exceptions. One of those exceptions, or some of them, إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. One of the times secret gatherings becomes encouraged is when you bring together various parties to figure out a tactic of how to bring two people back together again. You invite the extended family and friends. Two cousins are not talking, invite the rest of the cousins. And the goal is explicit. Hey guys, we're having a secret event. Those two are not coming because the goal is we want to work together to bring about a good cause. We want to work together to see how we can bring these two people back together again. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa bil kadhib." It's not considered lying. It's not considered lying if you say something that is causing sulh between two people. Even saying something that is factually untrue, at this point, it becomes rewarding. Now use your wisdom. You don't want to make a fool of yourself. But our scholars give examples, and these examples are not meant for copy and pasting. They're meant for you to use your intelligence and apply in that situation. Suppose you were a witness and the two friends, the two brothers, the two cousins got into a nasty fight. Some days go by, some weeks go by. You go to the one of them, say, you know, I was with so-and-so. And he regretted, he used two harsh words. Oh really? Wallah. And then you go to the other guy. You know, I was with so-and-so. You know, he regretted. Maybe he was a bit too harsh. He got angry quickly. So both hearts soften. Then you follow up. You have that plan with the rest of the cousins, right? So each cousin will say something here and there. This is halal strategizing. And it is halal to say something that is factually not exactly true, but at the same time, you're not, you know, creating a blatant lie. You're trying to use some wisdom here. The goal is to what? Bring people back together again. And you know, from the seerah we learn, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would get involved between sulh and khair, getting involved at every level. You know, between, I gave a whole khatir a few months ago about two, you know, people in Medina, who one of them was an indentured servant, the other was a slave. They were having a divorce and the Prophet got involved and wanted to bring sulh between Barira and her husband. I mentioned a whole story here. And in fact, his own daughter Fatima and Ali radiallahu anhum, they had an issue. It happens between husband and wife, and he got involved as a neutral party. I gave a talk here as well, and I showed how even though his daughter was involved, he didn't get involved in the nitty-gritty and actually deconstruct the argument. Rather, he facilitated the two of them coming back together as a good father-in-law is supposed to do. And in the whole Medina that he was 10 years in Medina, only one time did he actually remain in Medina and did not lead the salah. Otherwise, if he was not in Medina, somebody would lead the salah. If he's in Medina, he's going to lead the salah. Only one time it happened that he was in Medina and he was not able to lead Salat al-Asr or Salat al-Dhuhr. And that is that two tribes had a physical fight outside of Quba. They literally started saying things. One of them hit the other. One of them threw the stone at the other. And they had a physical fight, literally. In the time of the Sahaba even, they're human beings. They had a physical fight. Two people were wounded. The Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Bakr, come, let us go and make sulh between those two tribes. They left. Maybe around 9, 10 o'clock they left. And the goal was to come back by Salat al-Dhuhr. Salat al-Dhuhr came and he's nowhere to be seen. You know, it takes a while to bring people back together again. And the time is going. It's almost time for Asr. And of course, there's no cell phones. Nobody's saying. So they waited until finally they said, okay, we have to pray Salat al-Dhuhr because he's not here. And so they put Abdurrahman ibn Auf to lead the Salah. And the Prophet ﷺ came. At the very end, the last rak'ah he came, it caused a bit of a scene that he was walking in, and now what are they going to do? Somebody else is leading. So this is an interesting story. Point is, even Salat al-Dhuhr was delayed one time in the whole seerah. Why? Islah that al-Bain. bringing two warring tribes together and making sure there's peace and reconciliation. And in the famous incident, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked up his grandson Al-Hasan while he was crying in the khutbah. He interrupted the khutbah, he came down, picked him up, he brought him back to the minbar, and he pointed to his son, his grandson, and he said, "This son of mine," meant grandson, "one day is going to be a great leader." Why? Because he will bring two warring tribes of Muslims together again. He will bring sulh between the ummah. And that's what happened in the time of Al-Hasan radiallahu anh. He brought the sulh between. He became a leader by giving up his leadership. The Prophet called him a leader. He sacrificed his leadership because bloodshed is not good. Warring is not good. So he said to the other party, "Khalas, you take it. I'm not going to cause any more bloodshed for my sake." So he reconciled by giving up his own khilafah. And our Prophet said, this is the real leader. That is the Sayyid. And it shows you what it means when you bring people together again. So the bottom line, I encourage myself and all of you, don't be a neutral bystander. When your close friends, when your close family is having an issue, then try your best to be a party that facilitates. وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Bring about sulh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our hearts salih. Salih means from sulh, by the way. The same root here. You will become from the salihin when you make sulh between people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.